Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, it's wonderful to have you join me today. You are so precious to God. I wish I could tell you in my heart when he tells me about, I see your faces, especially those who have been power partners for a while. Oh, you are so dear to my heart. And I just can't imagine what a delight you are to God's heart. Oh, praise the Lord. And God causes all things to work together for our good because we love him. We love him, friend, and we're called according to his purpose. When you give that obedience to God, when you say, all right, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, then we know that he's going to work in our lives and he's going to accomplish what he started. He's going to accomplish and complete that which he started in our lives. Nope. I don't listen to the negative Nellies. Nope, I don't. And that's why I don't listen to a lot of news. In fact, even Fox News at times just irks me. I got to admit, it irks me because they're talking about the Democrats all the time. Democrats, Democrats, Democrats. Instead of all the accomplishments that are happening on their side and on President Trump's side. So we got to pray for them. We really do. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And you can hear us on KLTT, and that's 670. On your radio dial, got to get my thoughts together here, at 9 o'clock at night, at 2:30 in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, and on KLDC, that's 1220 on your radio dial at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's probably a really good time for you to listen to Call to Freedom, or you can go to freedomstreet.org, as many of you know already, and you can click on the resources and the radio shows. Also, you can donate there. You can email me at Barbara@freedomstreet.org. So there are a lot of different things you can look into, and I'm glad that so many of you are finding me online. It's not the live as much as online now, because that's technology, friends. That's technology, even though it's like AI. Some of us don't agree with AI, but it's here. It's here. So we've got to maybe not embrace it, but we've got to pray that God will be able to direct all of the new technology and all of the imaginations in his corner. Now, I read just this last weekend, and it's just such a joy for me to read this. There's a shift happening in Colorado that no one is talking about. There are 4,022,433 registered voters in Colorado, okay? Over 4 million. Unaffiliated voters are those claiming no party affiliation, more than double the totals from either party. Democrats comprise 991,920 voters, or 24.7%. Republicans comprise 894,209 voters, or 22.2%. And independents, listen to this. This was a shocker for me, because the 990,000, that's almost a million of the Democrats, and Republicans are almost 900,000. So that doesn't make up the 4 million. So where are all the others? Well, excuse me. The independents comprise 2,038,329, or 50.7%. 50.7%, that's over half. Now, did you hear that? I have to stand corrected, because I believed that Colorado was a blue state. I did. But it really isn't. It isn't a blue state. and I must face the fact that there are many who don't agree with what's going on in either the Republican or Democrat parties in Colorado. That brought a new hope into my heart and new expectations for the election coming up. And I was so taken by what is going on. So 97,900, I know you won't get all these, but if you go after I post it, you can go online and check out July the 28th. So when I looked, another 97,976, that's almost 98,000, or 2.4% are listed as other. The parties and their media partners will tell you that the unaffiliated voters are mostly those whose lack of affiliation is a form of protest. And it might be. I believe that's part of the reason. But they're also checking out and seeing who is really loyal to the base, loyal to the Colorado interests, the people that love Colorado, that are not trying to destroy Colorado. So Colorado is not two parties. It has many factions organized largely around cause. What unites these diverse factions is a distinct rejection of the two-party system and what is happening to their state of Colorado in the meantime. And I must apologize. Yep, it's me. I'm apologizing again for putting down Victor Marx because of his lack of knowledge of policy in our legislature. I listened to him in the debate, and Barb Kirkmeyer had so many more great policy things going on in her speech that I thought, ooh, no, I can't. I have to vote for Barb. I can't vote for Victor, although he won the Republican. So as the Republican nominee for the governorship, the Lord brought up, and here I'm contemplating. I don't know how you do, but sometimes when I'm caught in the middle, oh, Lord, what did I do and what am I going to do? And he says, he brought up Elijah again. Elijah's been in my thoughts a lot this year. When Elijah appeared on the scene, was he dressed pretty? And did he have all the right words to say, Barbara? And that's an emphatic no. And what did Elijah look like in this very sophisticated, quote, Israeli society of that day with Ahab and Jezebel? Oh, they were all decked out in their beautiful array of clothes and robes and crowns and all of that. Did God look at that? Mm-mm. According to 2 Kings 1, verse 8, when King Ahasuerus, messengers were asked about Elijah. Here's their description of Elijah. So, see, we look too much at the appearance. We do. I do. And they said he was a hairy man with a leather belt around his waist. This description likely refers either to his wild, untamed hair and beard, or to a garment made of animal hair, animal skins, which was characteristic of prophets at that time, distinguishing them from courtly or royal attire. And the leather belt was simple and functional, symbolizing readiness and spiritual discipline rather than ornamentation or status. So could it be, could it be that God has chosen Victor Marx to run for governor of Colorado, just as he chose Donald J. Trump in 2015 to be president of the United States? He's certainly gotten a lot of people's attention in Colorado. This is going to be very interesting, folks. Be sure and get registered to vote, because your vote will ring true to God's plan. If you don't vote, it's your loss. So let's get on our positive, great expectation face. Let's do it. Let's get hopeful and expectant of what God is going to do. Oh, praise God. I'm going to go into Psalm 100 before we get into Psalm 91 again. Psalm 100 in the Message translation. On your feet now, applaud God, bring a gift of laughter, sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God made us. We didn't make him. No, we didn't. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. Oh, I love that from the Message translation. And here's the passion of Psalm 100. Lift up a great shout of joy to Yahweh. Go ahead and do it. Everyone, everywhere. Worship Yahweh with gladness. Sing your way into His presence with joy. And realize what this really means. We have the privilege of worshiping Yahweh our God. For He is our Creator and we belong to Him. We are the people of His pleasure. I love that from the Passion. What's God's pleasure? Us. Us. He made us and He delights in us, friend. Verse 4 of Psalm 100 in the Passion. You can pass through you can pass through His open gates with the password praise. Come right into His presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to Him and affectionately bless His beautiful name. Oh, the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, so precious to us. Oh, I'm so grateful. I hope you hear that in the air, in the radio air. I hope you that you hear that I am so grateful to God for what He has done for me, and I'm so grateful for what He's doing to you as you trust Him. Yesterday, we were reading Psalm 91 in the Amplified, and we came upon the word spectator. That was verse 8, and I'm just going to go over these for a few minutes and then get into other things. Only a spectator, and this is verse 8 in the Amplified of Psalm 91. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible to all the fiery darts of the enemy in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge. See, you are now under the shadow of the Almighty. You have trusted Him. You are obedient to Him. And now you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Why do good people see great calamity? They don't trust God. They don't. They don't plead the blood of Jesus. They don't pray over themselves from the top of their head to the soles of their feet with the blood of Jesus every day. And friend, in these uncertain times, we've got to do that in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 11, for He will give His angels special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. They will bear you up in their hands, their great mighty hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And I remarked about Hebrews 1:14, aren't they all ministering servants sent out to render service to those who inherit salvation? We who are born again, who are saved, have the wonderful covering of the angels every day looking out for us. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder. And yesterday we rediscovered that they're evil spirits. The young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Yes, evil spirits. He gave us authority over all the power of the enemy in Luke 10:19. And so right here we find that Jesus, who has that authority to give, has given you and me authority to say, I bind you, spirit of hatred, spirit of illness, spirit of fear. Oh, that's a biggie. Spirit of fear, in the mighty name of Jesus, I bind you. And that's from Luke 10:19. We have that authority, friend. And I loose a spirit of truth and peace and righteousness and joy. Now here's a tense change in the 14th verse of Psalm 91. It's a tense change, a change in the tense. And here God is talking to Himself about you. Yeah, right here in the 14th verse of Psalm 91, God is talking to Himself about you. Because He has set His love upon me. That means you and me. Because you and I have set our love upon God. And He's going on to say, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name and has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. He trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, never. No, never, never, never. No, never. Oh, praise God. He will never leave you or forsake you, my friend. And verse 15 of Psalm 91 says, "He shall call upon me," that's a capital M, "he shall call upon me and I will answer him." See, God hears and answers our prayers. "I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Oh, doesn't that bring you joy in listening to those wonderful words? Oh, it does me. Brings me much joy. And when I speak that audibly, I say Psalm 91 out loud. And that's so good to do that. You need to do that more often, more and more often, reading the Word of God out loud. One of the definitions of the word joy is the consciousness of God's favor and blessings. It's like this life here tries to keep us down and fearful every time we turn around. Every time we turn around, there's an opportunity for more fear. It's looking at a possible situation with a wearisome look, or a look of great expectation of either fear or a great expectation of joy. Which are you going to be looking at? Joy or fear? Boy, that's a very thin line every once in a while. Let me give you just a little example, a tiny example. Last week, I ordered a couple of Bibles from Christian Book, and it came back that they declined my card. Well, I've ordered Bibles from that company for years. I was mystified, and I thought that maybe my card, which is new from PNC, could be different in some way. So I tried it again with a new PIN number. It did have a new PIN number, and it was declined again. I didn't look really with X-ray eyes at that card. And so I just set it down, set down my order, and walked away from the office. And I said, "I'll try tomorrow." Well, later that day, Kimberly called me and asked me about my credit card. She never does that, but she had had some issues with our 1-800 number. She keeps that, she does that. She's so precious. She keeps some of the business to herself, of Call to Freedom. And she tried to pay our 1-800 number for the ministry and had some questions. I gave her the card number and gave her a new PIN number. And then I looked again, because there I was looking at the card for her. And on the new card, the date had changed. Now, you know, if you've been online or anything, if you change any letter, even a dot, when you're trying to find a new address, I mean, it doesn't go through. And so the date had changed from 2028 to 2030. That was it. Kimberly had been my little messenger to answer my question. That's why Christian Book declined my order. I went back to the office, and sure enough, they okayed my order. Now, you may think this is a simple and small transaction in your everyday life. But my friend, if we don't thank and praise God in the simple things that he works out, we won't see the great and mighty miracles that he has on board. And that's why I praise him all day long. I really do. I used to not do that. I used to get down. I used to get down on myself, down on the circumstances, and even angry with God. And I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, because he doesn't cause that. Our decisions cause what we do. And it's like I told you yesterday in Deuteronomy 30, he says, "I set before you life and death. Choose life. Don't choose death." And sometimes our decisions are just downers. They really are. We don't ask God about them beforehand, and we just make these decisions because maybe we have counseled with the world, and we think the world is somehow more knowledgeable than God himself. Oh, so I went to 2 Chronicles 6:14. Solomon, who is king now in 2 Chronicles 6, knelt down on his knees in the presence of all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward heaven and said, "O Lord God of Israel, there's no God like you in heaven or on earth, keeping covenant and showing mercy and loving kindness to your servants who walk before you in obedience." See, that word obedience keeps coming up, "with all their heart." I remember, I think of that verse in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart," all of it. And Solomon goes on to say, you have kept your promise to your servant David, my father, that which you told him. You have spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is today. Now, therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with your servant David, my father, that which you promised him, saying, you shall not fail to have a man to sit on the throne of Israel, provided your sons are careful to walk in my law as you, David, have walked before me. So now then, O Lord God of Israel, let your word which you have spoken to your servant David be confirmed and verified. Now we know that Solomon didn't obey the Lord all of his life, but we know that there is a son of David, and his name is Jesus Christ, who comes in the new covenant. And he is called the son of David because God has put him on the throne of David in the new covenant. So will God actually dwell with mankind on the earth? Ah, behold, the heaven and the highest heaven cannot contain you, O Lord. Solomon goes on, how much less this house which I have built. Yes, he built a magnificent house, one of the seven wonders of the world then. And yet he says, God, you can't live in this puny little house. You are the God of all the heavens and all the earth. You have regard for the prayer of your servant. And we know that as Solomon pleads for God to hear his prayer, we know that in the new covenant that we understand that God hears and answers our prayers, my friend. He does. He is that wonderful God who has given us grace and blessing and honor through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells us that when we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, he hears us and he answers our prayers. Wow. What a marvelous, marvelous change that we have. We don't have to plead, oh, Lord, I hope you're hearing my prayer. Oh, Lord, are you hearing my prayer? Oh, Lord, I seek you. And you're going over and over and over it all the time. Well, Solomon answered our prayer for us with his prayer. And also in John 14, verse 13 and 14, Jesus is saying, and whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, and this takes faith, friend, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we can say, oh, Lord Jesus, I ask for this in your powerful name, knowing that God hears and answers your prayers. Here is 2 Chronicles 6:14, O Lord God of Israel.
O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Oh, Lord God.
Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heavens. There's no God like you on the earth. See, Solomon was pleading for prayer, in his prayer, for God to hear him. Oh, have regard for the prayer of your servants and for his prayer, O Lord God. Listen to the cry and to the prayer which your servant prays before you, that your eyes may be open toward this house day and night. Solomon had to plead for that. But because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can know the promises are for us. Listen to 2 Peter. Oh, first chapter, 2 Peter. Oh, did Peter learn a lot? And he says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is the new covenant, folks. This is under a wonderful grace. And seeing that his divine power, here's Peter saying, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, we can know that when we pray in Jesus' name, that he will answer our prayer. When we pray in full faith, expecting the very best from God, and we pray with authority that Jesus Christ has given to us, we know that that prayer is going to go through because we have the authority, the dominion on this earth God has given to us. Since Genesis 1, he gave man dominion in his image and likeness, dominion over all the earth. So you know you have that authority to pray with confidence that God is going to hear and answer your prayer. Oh, it's been so good being with you, talking about Psalm 91, knowing that you are going to have the best in your life because of Jesus. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.